So what we heard there from B is Paul's testimony. Paul is in Jerusalem. He is standing, well, there's a baying mob around him actually, and he turns to the people to speak to them, and he speaks in their language, and he tells them his story, his faith story, what Jesus has done for him. Now, I don't know your church backgrounds, but the word testimony can fill people with inspiration. They can love it. They can say, yes, let's hear more. They're wonderful. I want to tell you my story. Or you might have been brought up where going, oh my goodness, testimonies, they fill me with dread. I have nothing to say. Everyone else's life and faith sounds really impressive, and mine has, I've got nothing. I couldn't possibly tell you my story. You will know where you are when I say the word testimony and how you feel about it. Personally, I used to hate the word. I used to find it really intimidating when people tried to say, come and give me your testimony. And I'm like, I don't have a story that's dramatic, okay? I don't have a Paul story. I don't have a moment that Jesus came to me and I heard him speak and my life was transformed. I can just look back over my life, and gradually, as I grew and grew older and grew matured and things happened to me in life, I could see that God was in it. Yes, there have been moments that were great and I could feel really close to God much more. And there were moments where God feels a bit further away, but there's no dramatic Damascus story for me. So what is my testimony in that? But actually, if we go back to Jesus, Jesus told a parable about a light being lit. Remember? You don't light a light and hide it under a bushel or a bucket or whatever your translation says. You put it on the table so it lights the whole house. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. God is the God of light, right? Jesus is the light of the world. When we have a connection with God at some point in our lives, which I'm assuming because you're here in church on a Sunday morning, something's drawn you to God on a Sunday. That connection means that the light has reached you and is now in you. What Jesus was saying is we don't then hide that light. We need to shine it and tell the world about it. Now, some of that is with actions and what we do and how we live our lives, absolutely. But some of it is also we need to connect our actions with why we do them so that people looking at our actions can know what is our motivation. What is the reason that you are so kind to your neighbor? What is the reason that you seem to be so positive about life? What is the reason that you're so strong in this difficult situation? And at that point, we need to be able to say the words, well, it's because actually, and these need to be your words, because I feel that God is always with me, or I know Jesus. And Jesus gives me strength. Whatever it is, the way that you can articulate what your faith is, it's really important that we know, however simply it is, know how to tell our stories. Because actually, stories are what connect us with others. There are accounts of people who don't know God picking up a Bible, reading the Bible, and meeting Jesus in those words and being converted in that sense and following Jesus. But there are so many more stories of someone saying, well, I met this person and they told me about their faith, and so it made me ask some questions. And then I went to church and I met some more people like that, and I asked. It's much more likely that we are able to tell people about God through our own stories. So today we're going to be thinking about our own stories, and the best way to be inspired by that is to actually hear other people's stories. So this morning we are going to hear from a couple of people. Mike is going to come first to tell us his story because a few, well, it was probably months ago now, Mike preached to us and kind of in passing mentioned something quite key that happened in their lives. And I know a lot of us were then going, tell us the story, Mike. So today is the opportunity for him to come and fill us in on that bit. And tell us more about his story. So, Mike, would you like to come and give your testimony? Oh, it's Barbara too. I'm so sorry. Mike and Barbara, you are one. Wow, okay. Brilliant. Let's hear your story.
As Ruth has mentioned, several weeks ago Mike preached, and he did mention in passing that God spoke to him directly through listening to a sermon. And people were intrigued about that because he didn't elaborate what he meant. And he said he definitely heard God's voice speaking to him. And what God said to him was, "Mike, retire." That was a message from God. And it was a complete puzzle to him because he hadn't thought of retiring. He was very, very happy in his job as head teacher at St. Philip's. He was doing a good job, most people said. And he just could not understand it. But he thought, why? Why did God tell me to retire? But he did it. And because he said this to me, I thought, well, perhaps this is God speaking to us both. So I decided to retire as well. And we didn't know why. We had no idea why. And so this morning we're going to tell you just about one thing that God revealed to us through our retirement and what we did. We've got three, but we're only going to speak about one, because if we talked about all three, we'd be here till the middle of the afternoon, because it's so such a lot to say. And the first thing is that when we retired, we became Christians when we were teenagers. It wasn't like Paul, you know, a sudden revelation of Jesus. We'd known Jesus for many, many years. But we thought that we'd always had a heart for mission. And so we thought, perhaps God wants us to go abroad and be missionaries. So in fact, we contacted a missionary society and went away for a weekend, and they said, yes, we would like you to go overseas for us and work overseas. It will be a 2 or 3 year stint overseas. Great, we said. That's just what God wanted us to do. But then we thought, God put into our minds, no. Mike had an elderly mother, a widow, and he's an only child. And she'd come to Cambridge to live near us. And we thought, if we go away for 2 or 3 years, who's going to look after his mother? And so we prayed about it and we thought about it and we thought, no, this isn't right for us. So that wasn't God's leading. And then in a magazine, I saw a little article about a man who had a vision for using retired Christian teachers overseas, in countries where teachers were struggling, hadn't had any real training, and it was short-term work. So we thought, perhaps this is us. So we contacted this man and talked to him about this, and he was just setting up this organization called Senior Volunteer Network, or SVN as we call it. And we decided to join this organization, and immediately he asked us to do something. And Mike's going to tell you what he did, what we did, I should say, in response to God's call with Senior Volunteer Network. And I would say that it is a volunteer organization, and you know, you don't get paid for it. So Mike's going to tell us a little bit about what happened then.
Well, we were asked to go to Colombia, to Bogota, not to teach, but to be alongside a street children's worker. And I'll unveil the reason for you about that. Because people working with street children often did it in the wrong kind of way, messed up, didn't follow regulations to do with government and so on, and social workers and the police, all this sort of thing. And so we were asked to go to that part of the world to help create a handbook for street children workers. Now, at that time, Colombia was perhaps the most dangerous country in the world. it had the highest rate of murders and kidnappings. So we prayed. We spoke to our children, and God said, go. So we went along to Bogota in Colombia, and there we were actually staying with children who had been rescued from the streets, and they were just outside Bogota. And so we were working with this American called Steve and Evie, his Mexican wife, because he wanted to create a book to advise people how to do it correctly. But he was so busy, whether it's fixing electricity or all kinds of things, that he couldn't have time to sit and write this down. So our role was to be with him with a tape recorder in our hands, listening to his words and so on, with a book as well, writing things down to find out what it was from this effective and highly respected street children worker. We were living with these children just outside Bogota, the capital city, 3 miles away. At that time, there was a revolution going on in Colombia. The rebels were fighting the government, and they were just 3 miles away from where we were. That was our situation. And when we arrived, the first thing that happened to us was, a bus is coming. The street children are going with us. We're going to an anti-Halloween celebration, because Halloween in Bogota in Colombia was pretty awful, really. And so we went with these children. We went into Bogota, picking up some more children sitting in the back of this coach, when suddenly we heard a gunshot and a bullet fired through the window just above where we were sitting. That was our introduction to Bogota. Actually, we think it might have been an accident, but the bus drove off quickly and we had a lovely time at that evening. We lived, as I say, outside Bogota in the lower part of the Andes, bitterly cold at night. We couldn't get warm. And the rescued children that we were with had lots of problems, physical ones, aggression, bedwetting constantly. And there we were, short of water and warmth. Well, as I said, we followed Steve around with our tape recorder. And we had some basic happy things as well. One of the street children we were with was a brilliant footballer. And we went to watch a football match and surprised to see armed guards all around the football pitch. This was Bogota. And then one Sunday, as we were off to church, suddenly we were stopped by police. I was forced to get out with the other men out of the little van, spread eagle like that, whilst I was frisked. They didn't touch the women, one of whom had been a converted terrorist. Well, that was interesting. So, we were with Steve. Steve was, as I say, highly respected because of his work with street children. And one day, we went into the center of Bogota with him to a place where street children's families lived. Children who still had families, that is, in broken down homes in a terrible situation. And he said, you've got to respect these people. Show that you trust them. Do not take off your watches or your rings or any jewelry. And we went into that area where he talked to people, and we saw those terrible conditions. So we got lots of information, came home, did a draft, passed it on to others who had asked us to go out there. And then eventually it became a basic manual for street children workers, which was used in Latin America widely, and then, as we know, and still is, in Africa today. So it spread across the world. God sent us and challenged us to help him in an unexpected way.
Uh,
Just to finish off, this organisation, which was very, very new, we discovered we were the first people to go out and do anything. We didn't know that at the time, but we discovered that later. But it's still going on, and we're still very involved in it. And those of us who know us know that we're, since then, we haven't been back to South America, but we've been to India and various countries in Africa to do teaching or help teachers. Work alongside teachers and do workshops for them. So the work is still continuing, and we're still involved in it through being on the leadership team and things like that. So that's our testimony, just as I said, just one of the things that when God told Mike to retire, we now know why. Thank you.
I knew that story was going to be amazing, but my goodness. It is really encouraging to hear other people's stories. Sometimes we can think in churches that they have to be that dramatic and they have to involve bullets flying at your head and being rescued by God. But actually, sometimes there are also just as dramatic stories happening, oh, I don't know, just a mile down the road. And Tracy is going to come and talk to us now. I don't know if you remember, but we have been praying for Tracy a lot over the last few months, and there were some times that we were praying round the clock for you, Tracy, weren't we?
Yeah.
It was a hairy time, but
it was. When
I went to visit Tracy in hospital, and she was telling me what she's about to tell you, I was like, you have to come and tell the church. They have to hear this, because it's wonderful. So, in your words, Tracy, I'm going to...
Often, we pray with our natural eyes about what we see happening, or want to happen. But God wants us to, and is calling us to pray with our spiritual eyes of faith for the outcomes before we see them. I've been ill for such a long time. I took it as a normal for me. My turning point for me was when I lay in my hospital bed and I was negative. What was my life going to be like this now? I sat, I spoke to God, prayed, I got an outcome. It could be cancer. It meant it was secondary cancer, and there was a cyst on my ovary, then my appendix. I sat there, I placed it in God's hand. While I did this, I realised how I was praying, that I was missing my trust in my Father. As a child, I freely trust, but an adult, does fear run through you? And my Father believes he cares. I started to think of prayer not as an activity with God, but more as an awareness of God, a love and connection. And I did this. The date for my op was set. This was cancelled, then cancelled again. Date for my operation came. I somehow felt at ease, calm, and knew I'd be safe. After the operation, I was in so much pain. My trust I put in the doctor's nurse, they told me the pain was normal. I then woke up in intensive care, told my operation failed. I had septicemia level 2, lost part of my stomach, bowel. My first thought was, why has this failed? Has God tested me, my faith, my life? Am I being punished? I then looked at it again. I'm alive. I've been given a chance at life. My perspective has changed on so much. I'm in a wheelchair, have my faith and strength for my Father. He gave me that, and that will live on in me forever. I now look at my prayer, and now as true treasures, a freedom from worry and fear, and a greater trusting my Father. Don't allow your fear to hold you back and limit your prayers. Remember this.
Thank you, Tracy. It just shows, doesn't it, that the power, my goodness, that is just as dramatic to be there at the point. Tracy very nearly died on that operating table, and there were many moments that were really, really dark, and yet she found a stronger faith through that. But when we talk about the peace that passes understanding, that is what's God's gift to us, it's that peace. When by rights you shouldn't be peaceful, when by rights we should be terrified and scared and wondering what's going on, and yet God can bring us that peace. Tracy, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Tracy's going to come back and lead us in prayer a little bit later as well. But now it's over to you guys. We're going to be thinking about our own stories. They might be as dramatic as these two. They might be not as dramatic and much more like mine, which is much more gradual, and you just look back and go, oh yeah, I can see how God works in that. We are going to, as ever, think about it. There are three different ways that we can think about this now. So you might want to just take some time off by yourself to just think through your life. Go back over it. What were those key moments? Did you have a moment where you discovered God and you can remember and pinpoint that time when God came into your life? Or is there something that happened later that you go, well, that was the moment faith came alive for me, or something? You might want to go and quietly just sit by yourself and ponder that. If you are more active and find visual pictures more helpful, I have a half a map here. Sometimes it's nice to plot it literally as a journey of life, and you might have the dawns, the sunrises, you might have the mountains going up, going down, the hard, the easy. You might have times in flowers and meadows that are peaceful and easy. You might have times where you seem to be going round and round and round in circles and getting nowhere. You will have lots of other ideas and ways that you can relate the journey image to your faith journey. But if you want to plot them on a map, feel free to take one of these templates and do that. Or the other way, which is also really good, is to practice telling someone something about your story. So you can turn to the people next to you and share what brought you to church this morning. It could be as simple as that. Why do you come to church? What is it that brings you here each week? Or is there a moment that you can say, yeah, that I can pinpoint that moment was really profound in my faith, and find a way to talk about it? When we begin to talk about our faith, it can feel stumbling and it can feel like you haven't quite got the right words, but it's just practice of telling it. So you can also take this time to practice talking to your neighbour, telling them stories, because as you will have felt from hearing Mike and Barbara's story and Tracy's story, it encourages us, right? It kind of makes you, oh, that's awesome. It gives us a lift. So we can practice telling each other. So whichever way you're most comfortable, this is the opportunity to think over your life and your faith journey with God. Jacob, if you could, brilliant, thank you. That's just a reminder of all the different ways. And if you want one of these, I'll put them on the table here and you can come and grab one.